Leaders and healers, gamers and claimers, ladies and gentlemen from around the universe, from around the globe, from around the community, welcome to the Power, Purpose, and Passion Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Cheem, speaker, life coach, author, trainer, musician, singer, songwriter, friend, podcast host, ready to give to you the best of what I've learned and being in this amazing industry of fitness, of health, of vitality, spirituality, emotional fitness, whatever it is, whatever I can get my hands on to learn to upgrade myself. So I'm going to share with you on this podcast so you then can claim your power, clarify your purpose, and cultivate your deepest, widest, and highest passions possible. Ultimately, upgrading, advancing, and enhancing and updating your life on a consistent basis, growing and showing, getting up and stepping up in your life so you can live a powerful, purposeful and passionate life, because that's what it's all about. And then ultimately, as you do that, as you make those upgrades, you then share your wisdom, your love, your care for the people around you with so much grace, so much gratitude, so much humility. You just want to give as if you are a candle burning, wanting to share your flame with the others around you. That's what it's all about. So thank you for joining us on this podcast. I'm still, every time I'm on the show, I get so excited and elated and juiced about the fact that I can be on a show like this and share my wisdom, share my passion for serving people through my own unique vehicle, my own delivery system, through either life coaching or strategic intervention or working with families or speaking in front of audience or writing books or whatever it is, through music, with whatever. I'm just amazed that we can actually be able to do this. We are moving at accelerated rates in human evolution, and to be a part of that makes me excited and happy to be a part of your life and your own evolution. And today's podcast on this Monday, November 11th, I want to give a shout out to all the people who actually in their lifetime, it being November 11th today, Remembrance Day, to remember the people who risked their lives for our freedom. I have had relatives that I never really got to meet that were part of that, the World War II, and just unbelievable. Yeah, I can't even imagine a world war happening again. But what they sacrifice, people sacrifice for our freedoms in Canada, for our sacrificing for today, for us to be able to live the freedoms that we have in Canada and across the board. Thank you for the people. And hopefully you guys that are listening to the show are taking a moment of silence to honor the people that have made the sacrifice for our freedoms today. And obviously, it being the first rainfall outside, hopefully you guys are not driving too fast. You have your winter tires on or whatever. I always say during the first snowfall is always the toughest for people, because people start to drive as if they are driving on smooth pavement, and today's going to be a lot of accidents. I hope there isn't a lot, but I know from my own experience in the past that there was a lot of accidents on the road, whether it be side streets or highways or whatever it might be. So thank you for the people out there who are driving safe. And I think the buses were even closed today this morning in Burlington. What about you, Cam? How you doing, man?
So good. Very good this morning. I love snow at the beginning. At the end, I start to hate it. I start to hate it so much.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you got
but
it,
I'm enjoying it right now. Woke up with a smile on my face looking out the window.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
it is beauty outside.
It is so gorgeous when it lands down on the trees, and you could see like every tree is lit up like with a white.
Yeah.
Also, for sure, want to pay my respects to everybody who literally risk their lives for an entire country of people that they don't really know. They really just know their friends and family, but they did it for the greater good of all of us. And regardless of the politics behind war, whether or not war is a good thing or a bad thing or whatever, these people did what they knew was right, you know? So from my perspective, I can't even imagine. I'm 21, and people would die in war at the age of 18.
Yeah.
So, definitely glad that we have an entire day where we can just realize how lucky we are.
Yes.
How blessed we all are.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
You got it, man. You got it. And what better way to start this Monday morning, this Monday afternoon, magnificent Monday, with a topic like probably my favorite topic to talk about, because it really encompasses everything, what it means to be happy, fulfilled, and live a joyful life, and that is relationships. And what did you title the relationship episode today there, Cam? What was the title that I gave that we talked about? What was the title? Oh, relationships equal health and longevity. I had a client that gave me a book. He's 78, 79 years old, and he's in tremendous physical condition. And he gave me a magazine that he subscribes to. On the very front part of the page, I actually had to take a picture of this, and it actually said on the front page, the very front of it said, relationships, the elixir to healthy aging. And I had to take a picture of it. And I've often said to people, look, this comes from Dr. Dean Ornish, a Harvard professor who taught about nutrition for decades. He talked about how relationships, he discovered as a left brain scientific rational mind studying nutrition, he said it basically, and he said it very recently, he said something along the lines of, beyond our fitness level, our nutrition, and even our genetics, the genes that we inherit, our relationships will determine our health more than any of those things combined. And I must say, having a great relationship with my wife and a great relationship with her, with my children, with my friends, my family, I tell you, when things are going great outside of my relationships, like my career or whatever it might be, my fitness, whatever goals I'm after, they are directly proportionate to my intimate relationships, that I'm happiest and I'm most clear-headed and my heart is fully open when my relationship with my wife, with God, with my children, with the people that are closest to me are solid. And I have to say, when things are going great on the outside and things aren't going so well on my intimate relationship, my relationships that are meaningful to me, I have to say, all that outside stuff, I don't know about you guys, I don't know about you, Cam, my focus, my concentration goes bottoms out. There have been times in the past when my wife would have a disagreement or we have an argument or something, and it would just be left as such, and I'd go to my next client, or I'd go whatever, go work out or go meditate, and I just couldn't do it at the level I know I could do it at. And because I just know that there was this discourse, there was this tension between my wife and I, or whoever I was having a fight with or a disagreement with. And I have to say that my number one goal, my number one intention out of all the intentions, goals, objectives in life, it is to connect with the divine. That's my first thing. The first thing I do at 3 a.m., 3:30 in the morning is to connect with the divine through deep contemplative prayer, centering prayer, through meditation, through giving thanks, through blessing of my life and the people around me, sending out love and connecting with the deeper intentions of my heart and my soul. And then number two, my ultimate intention is to connect with my wife and children, that upon them getting up in the morning at whatever time they get up, I greet them with so much love like the divine has greeted me through meditation. That is why. Those are my two most important things. And when I have those things solid, when I have those things connected, fully embraced, harmonized, optimized, unified, magnified, amplified, all those things, I can tell you, I actually enter into my workday with so much more clarity, with so much more focus, with so much more power. That is why I really promote to the people out there that are listening to the show, that people I work with, and that relationships, take care, number one, with the relationship you have with the divine, with yourself. Take care of yourself, your own needs first, so that then you can make a deposit into other people's bank account of love, of relationship, of communication, of compassion, that much more effectively. Because if you don't really take care of the relationship you have with the divine, and whatever your interpretation of the divine, God, oneness, unity, Tao, whatever you want to call it, make sure you take care of that first so that you can bring that level of energy and focus into your other relationships, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, dog, pet, universe, whatever it might be. And I remember even hearing, I think it was Zig Ziglar, who said something along the lines, he met a therapist, or he knew one of the psychologist or a family therapist, who said, after years and years of practice in family therapy and marriage counseling, he's discovered that 100% of his patients, 100% of the people that come to him, are always relationship driven. You can talk about stress and anxiety and fear and stuff, but underneath it all, there's something about some sort of disconnect with relationships, or there's some tension with inside themselves about somebody else. It always has to do with relationships. That's why I work so hard for me personally on reading books like Relationship Breakthrough by Chloe Madonis and Tony Robbins, reading books like Bernie Siegel's Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And I'm always looking to get the edge in how I can be a better version of Anthony so that I can bring that better version of Anthony, communication, vocabulary, love, presence, purpose, all those things into my relationships outside, whether it be client-based or my wife or my children, whatever it might be. I want to be the best version of Anthony, whether it be, again, my talents, my gifts, my skills, and sharpen them so that I can really connect with people with so much more clarity. And I find myself, even to this day, I've even doing this for so many years, I find myself making mistakes, going off course, and that's natural with some of my relationships. And I have to say that, you know, anytime I do that, it's actually a good reminder for me to actually go back to fundamentals. Fundamentals of life, fundamentals of communications, fundamentals of listening. As I say to people, as one of my mentors used to say to me, Anthony, what is the key to communication? What is the key to communication? I remember going, saying to him, oh, okay, I'm ready. Do you want to know the key to communication? I said, yes, I'm ready. And then he just sat there and I went, okay, I'm listening. He goes, that's the key to communication. Listening. First, listening with your ears, your heart, your mind, with full presence and attention into what the other person is saying. And as Stephen Covey says in his great book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he said, first seek to understand, then to be understood. First seek to understand, then to be understood. Alfred Adler said, those who feel loved feel understood, and those who feel understood feel loved. So you must listen first. Understand the person you're communicating first. Because if you understand them, they'll be more open to you having them understand you. So that is the first. And by the way, the word listen, the letters listen, L-I-S-T-E-N, and silent have the exact same letters in it. Isn't that amazing? I remember I'd go to a seminar and they said that. I thought that was brilliant. So in any case, make sure to nurture yourself. Nurture your relationships and all your dreams, your health, your vitality, your ability to focus on your own personal objectives and goals in life will be that much easier. As I said, in my own personal experience, when there's a disconnect in my relationship with my wife or my family or people I really care about, my ability to concentrate goes right to the bottom and I can't do it. I have to take care of those things first. And I often say to people, let's say if you had $100 million, $100 million. That would probably take care of most people's needs. Would you say, Cam? Okay, $100 million. Let's say $100 million. Everyone, I promise to give you $100 million. But the only stipulation would be, you could never see, or contact, or communicate with your loved ones ever again. The people that care about you and you care about most. How much would that $100 million be worth to you? Less than zero. Fantastic. I love that. I've actually, in my past of asking that question, I've had one person in the audience say, well, I guess you don't know me very well. I would actually take the $100 million. And the person was pretty serious. And I said, without getting into, I actually wanted to have a one-on-one session and to dig deep into his mindset and or to his heart set and see where he was coming from. But my thing said to me, my gut said to me that a lot of his relationships were down the drain. And he was, and when your relationships aren't going well, oftentimes, instinctively and intuitively, the human brain will drop down and default to the most basic of human instincts and the human needs, and that is food, drugs, money, fame, fortune, material possessions. And not to say those aren't bad, I'm just saying there's a lot of things in this world that are fundamentally and foundationally much more important than just money and fame and fortune and material possessions, as you know, as you just answered. And a lot of time, but for the most part, people answer that money would be absolutely worthless to me. So then my follow-up question to that, then why are you making your relationships and your health number two when those should be number one? Those should be number one. If you want to live, they must be a number one. If you want to live a fulfilling, happy, joyful, blissful, passionate, powerful, purposeful life, you got to make loving number one, yourself and the divine that has created you, top priority, and nurturing and making deposits in your relationship a number one priority. It's just my experience, and I didn't need to have a book to tell me that. That's just been my experience, and working with a lot of people and through their own personal struggles, whether it be personal or professional, it always came down to the relationship they had either with themselves or with their parents or with their wife or husband, whatever it might be. And once we're able to heal those areas and be able to kind of make greater connections in those areas and to align the person there, everything else almost fell into place. What are your thoughts there, Cam? I mean, I talked about relationships being a deeply impactful component of life. What has been your experience?
Yeah, I completely agree with every word of it. I think about, like, the moment we're born, we need people. Like, from the moment you're born, we're not the kind of animal that is born and just leaves the nest on day one. We need to be held. We need to be fed. And even when I was a kid, you know, I didn't want to be alone. I always wanted somebody there. I didn't like darkness, you know, mm-hmm. kids are afraid of the dark and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, needless to say, there's something about having another human being there that is so comforting. There's like, I know there's like older people who, you know, might be lonely, so they get a dog or something.
Yep.
But it does not compare to what it feels like to have another human being in your arms when you give somebody a hug. And there's also like a bunch of studies talking about how, you know, a cure to anxiety, stress, and depression and all these stuff is just like, hug somebody. Maybe give more hugs in a day.
Yes.
That physical touch is important too, because you can talk all day long.
Yep.
You know, you and I talk all day long, but how often do we see each other?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm giving you a hug right now, bro. I'm giving you a hug right now, man.
Hugging, virtual hug, right back at you, man.
Thanks,
but,
man.
But yeah, there's something just so special that is ineffable. You can't explain with words that comes with human connection.
Yep.
And there's so many people that, you know, and let's be honest here. Human relationships are hard. They're so difficult.
You need to meet
somebody halfway. You need to
you need to
be willing to meet somebody, understand them before you're understood. Love them before you're loved back.
Yes.
All these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason people reach for money and food and drugs and sex and all sorts of other gratifying things that come with being a human, they reach for those because it's a lot easier than dealing with another human being. It's, you really have to put yourself aside and put your ego in check, basically.
Yes. Like
put it, your ego should not be on the table when you're dealing with human beings. It should be, you have to open yourself up. You have to be willing to be vulnerable and judged and all these things.
Yeah.
It's not easy. That's for sure. And I don't know that from an objective point of view, it seems like that's why so many people run from it. And so many people cover up their lack of relationships. And I'm not talking about intimate relationships in general.
In general, no. I'm not talking about intimate relationship either. In fact, you said something so profound. There's a famous psychologist that said, you know, it's very hard to love people that hurt and disappoint you. And then he said this so funnily, and I smiled to myself. It is so hard to love people that hurt and disappoint you, but that's the only type of humans that exist. People that love you are going to hurt you. They're going to disappoint you. But, you know, as you know, I heard one guy say, he said, do you want to be right or do you want to be in love? Do you want to prove that you're better? Right? Or do you want to prove that you're better and that you're right above them to stroke your ego? Or do you want to be in love with this person? And Stephen Covey said another thing that Stephen Covey, I remember reading from his books and studying his work, was people oftentimes respond with the intent to listen to with the intent to respond, not with the intent to understand. So if you're yelling at me, Cam, I'm only listening to you with the intent to respond to you, but I'm not listening to you with the intent to actually truly understand you and go, wow, you're really angry at me, Cam. I must have done something really stupid to really make you angry. What did I do? Please help me understand that. Rather than go, you're yelling at me, you're a prick for you, how dare you? No, it's, wow, Cam, you're hurting. I was responsible for hurting you. How can I really, what did I do to hurt you? And how, give me a chance to actually mend the wound that I struck you with. The knife that I cut to the core of who you are. What did I do? Please let me understand you. Like it's that idea of, you know, if someone came up to you right now, Cam, and they were getting out of bed and they were just in the worst mood, and you were to say to them, oh, someone got up on the wrong side of the bed. How do you think that person's going to respond? Like, well, screw you. You don't know what I've been through. But what if you said something along the lines of, Cam, what about this? and you looked at the person and said, wow, you're having a rough day right now. I can see that. What do you need from me to help you feel nurtured and loved right now? Or what do you need from me, man? That's a different response, right?
Yeah, right? And I think a lot of people don't expect that response.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, because the automatic response is mm-hmm. to get upset or
and judge.
Or
right?
judge or feel defensive on the other yep. end. All those things. And it's definitely... Actually, answer me this. This is just an observation of mine.
Mm.
But when somebody disappoints you or does something that you were not expecting or basically does what you want them to do something, you want them to be a certain way, and they're not, it kind of mirrors, like it literally shoves a mirror in your face and you're forced to look at yourself.
Yes.
Like
yes.
it really... breakups as an example, it can make somebody feel worthless or not good enough or whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And really, it's just you felt that before the relationship, only you're just now feeling it because the connection of that relationship filled that void for you when you weren't able to do it for yourself. And now that compensation is gone, that external validation is gone, you're left with exactly what you started with, a low self-esteem, low self-worth, and all these things. And I think in order to foster positive, empowering, long-lasting relationships that energize you, you need to be able to let the other person be themselves. You need to be able to be okay with somebody not being the way you want them to be. It works as a parent. It works as a sibling, a coworker, a friend, a lover, whatever it is. Because if everybody was the way you wanted them to be, life would suck. Life would suck.
It
That's
would.
The roller coaster of relationships. It's a fun ride. Yeah. It can hurt sometimes. It can be stressful sometimes. But like, I know that, you know, if I spend too much alone time, I need somebody else in the room because I need somebody to show me a perspective that I'm not already seeing.
Yes.
I've been alone for 20 hours.
Yes,
can
yes,
you
yes.
please tell me something I don't know already? Mm-hmm. You know, tell me how you see the world because I need something new. I'm stuck in my head.
Yes,
you know? And
of
that's
course.
That's another beautiful thing about relationships. But again, I think a big issue with a lot of friendships, relationships, parent to son and daughter relationships is the idea that they expect so much out of the other person. They expect them to be a certain way and they don't allow them the room to be themselves. And if you think about it, it really, it just stems from them not being able to be themselves. And it's all like this big game of reflection.
Yes. No, I love that there, Cam. I think in my own personal experience in relationships that the less and less I make myself the focus within the relationship and onto, wow, how can I make my children feel like they're loved by me? Or how can my wife feel like, wow, my husband loves me, is meeting my needs? Man, like it becomes a game. And the more I'm able to make deposits and I see the smile on their face and I'm like, yes, I'm winning in this thing called relationships. That leaves me feeling, that makes me making a deposit in their life and understanding their and appreciating their world and loving them the way they want to be loved, not the way I want to be loved. The more I do that, the more free and liberated and powerful I am when I'm not in the relationship, because I know I've made those deposits on a consistent basis. Like, I've had one song says, you know, I love you, let me count the ways. How often do we actually not just say I love you, but all the reasons why we love each other? I love you because, and you said something so, so amazing that you said, you know, someone may not be like you, but how can you appreciate the differences, not just the commonalities that you have in your relationship, but the differences you have in your relationship, because you're not just attracted to their commonalities, but you're attracted to their craziness or their wildness or their carefreeness. Like, I was attracted to my wife not because she was like me, like extroverted and crazy and passionate. Actually, I wouldn't be able to handle a relationship like if I was in a relationship with someone like me. She was gentle and kind and sweet And it was just this purity and power that she exuded. It was just amazing. And then she was probably attracted to my craziness and my energy and my steam and my confidence, all these things. And we coalesced. And every element that she was attracted to, there's also a dark side of it too. You know, it's like that one story of, you know, I use this in some of my coaching. And I'll say something like, you know, if stubbornness is something that you hate in your partner or you hate in your daughter, when would stubbornness be an actual benefit? Like if a guy had your daughter in the back of a Chevy and she said no, wouldn't stubbornness be a positive thing, right? So you can actually flip, you know, something that you may not like about somebody into something that you actually appreciate and respect about somebody. So play that game of appreciation. You can name all the things that, you know, it was, what was it? It was John Gottman who was successful. Listen to this statement. Listen to this. John Gottman was successful 92% of the time in predicting whether a couple would be divorced in 3 to 5 years with a 5 or 10 minute conversation with them. Was 92% successful. And one of the things he looked for, he called it the four horsemen of relationships. And the first four, the horseman was criticism. He was looking for criticism, how other people were criticizing each other. The second thing was defensiveness. The third thing was contempt. And the fourth thing was stonewalling. And he was using that as sort of a scaling process to understand a person's relationship dynamics. And one of his famous quotes was, in order for a relationship to thrive, there's got to be 5 times more positive communication than there is negative communication. So anytime there's like criticism or contempt or defensiveness and stonewalling in a relationship, then the chances of that relationship lasting long term is probably, I can tell you, they're probably in a, you know, a ticking time bomb in their relationship. And so you can take responsibility for how much positive communication you have within that relationship. Take responsibility for your part and appreciating your partner. When's the last time you actually said something positive to your partner that you said, I haven't said this in a while, but I want to appreciate your patience with me. Or I want to appreciate how hard you work. We don't say that. We always find something that, you know, they didn't do. You didn't need to close a toothpaste, or you didn't pick up your clothes, or you don't pick up the laundry, or you didn't cook and clean the long weekend. Always thinking about what people don't do. Well, what about the things that people are doing? And then how often are we taking notice of that? You were going to say something, Cam. I noticed that you were going to chime in on something.
Actually, I wasn't.
Okay.
but
okay.
I completely agree with everything that you're saying. Like, Tony Robbins said it this way in his movie. He was like, you know, you could blame somebody for, you know, betraying you, disappointing you, and attacking you or whatever, just doing all these things to you. But you also should blame them for everything good that they have done for you, everything that they've given you, everything they've done for you, everything they've sacrificed for you. Because it's kind of like this. When you care about other people's opinions, it doesn't matter which side you take, there's always a string attached to the other. So if I love that positive reinforcement and I live for that, no matter how hard I try, if I live for positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement will hurt me. I can't just pick and choose what I will take. You take all the opinions or it's not about it. And I think with communication, it should be the same thing. Should be, if you're going to communicate in a negative way and point out all the flaws, then in order to be actually honest, because otherwise you're being biased. You're 100% being biased. If you were honest, you would involve both ends, the negative and the positive. And then there's something to work on, you know, because the positive thing, like you wouldn't know what to fix unless you knew what was right and wrong at the same time. Because then you could see what's the difference between the right and wrong. Why is this right and why is that wrong?
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there and we'll discover more about ourselves.
Yes.
But people are just so emotion driven and they fail to take an objective view on things sometimes.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to, obviously emotions are important, but important to sometimes put your own hatred or disappointment or whatever you're feeling to the side and you know, be the bigger person and figure this out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the strategies that I'm certainly still learning that I tell people about is ask yourself the question when you're interacting with somebody. If they are mad and they're angry, ask yourself the question, what could be going on in their life for them to behave that way? What could be going on inside their head, inside their mind, in their life that they could behaving that way? Could they have lost their job? Could they have just lost their mother or their father? Have they just lost a bunch of money? Have they just been betrayed, cheated on? Or are they just having a bad day? And that takes you out of the equation, as you said, be objective, right? And being able to reframe your experience. And as you said, Tony Robbins talked about, you can blame the people around you for all the crap that's happened, but you got to also take in all the stuff that they've also positively given you too as well. Because you can turn manure into fertilizer, right? And I remember hearing one of the best stories of that was this woman who is a child, who, listen to this, who was a child of a man that raped this woman, who decided to keep the child. And the child ended up growing up and becoming this amazing spiritual teacher, a woman of empowerment. I forget her name, but she does speeches all around the world about she was a child of someone who raped her mom, and the mom got pregnant. Rather than, you know, abort the baby, she ended up having the baby, and then this girl became, and she ended up thanking the guy. She's like thanking the guy for that experience. Like, can you imagine getting to that point, the level of forgiveness and grace, and just whatever your views on abortion are, like, that's regardless of that. But the point is, this woman decided to use that as an experience to empower herself and teach about forgiveness and love. And so if a woman can do that out of that circumstance, we can certainly let go of our own trivial, you know, annoyances in our life. The only problem is they build up over a year or years and years of being in the relationship. The worst part, the worst word for a stale relationship, complacency. Oh, tell you, to be too complacent in a relationship, it equals boredom, equals disaster, where you just kind of pass each other by and remain friends. That's in intimate relationships, I mean. That also goes for relationships in parenting and friendship too. My best friend, him and I have always had an amazing time. We always figured out, just go out when we were in our 20s, partying, going out to different places, doing different things, enjoying different things. It goes for any relationship, really, is you don't want it to be complacent, because the moment you feel complacent is the moment it goes down. There's no such thing as stagnation in life. And as Zig Ziglar said, if you want to coast, the only way to coast is downhill. Right? And you don't want to be going downhill. So anyway, this was a long episode. I think this was a profound episode. I wanted to focus in on relationships because, man, I tell you, it's one of those reminders for me personally and reminders for the world that relationships. So today, I challenge you, people listening to this podcast, go out and find 3 or 4 or 5 people that you love and say, not just say I love you, but reasons why you love them. Pick apart the particulars and specifics about why you love this person. What do you appreciate and respect about this person? I promise you, that person is going to have an amazing day the next day or that day. So to your continued upgrade and evolution, live it up with power, purpose, and passion. God bless, and have an amazing snowy white fall day. Take care, guys.